Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Bow, bow, bow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what? Sue me.
Oh, bite me. That's a good one. Yeah. The kids are all in there, aren't they? Yeah. Bite me. End of. And all that. health updates. My back's getting slightly better. I'm quite mobile again now. Well, as mobile as a man in my condition can possibly be. I've got a little bit of an encroaching winter cold stroke cough, which right. You might be able to hear in my voice. But apart from that, I'm all right. How are you?
My back is a bit better, but I went for a massage yesterday.
Did you?
After chatting about it, and it's done me the world of good.
Oh,
and then
right.
I was out this morning exercising, and it felt all right. I thought, fucking hell, the massage has worked. I've had to piss into a tube.
Oh, you've done that. Good.
I've got that in my gym bag, because I was supposed to drop it at the GP's on the way back from the gym,
right.
But I forgot. But what I did was, I pissed in the tube, first thing, bam!
Yeah,
they said first piss of the morning is the best one for testing.
Don't know why. It's got
freshest,
a build up of all your DNA from overnight, innit?
Yeah,
it's got like bits of your dreams and stuff in it and everything.
Is that one time? Can we do a deep dive episode where you talk us through the ways in which what the body does while we sleep? It could be cool. It could be a special called Why Do We Sleep with
Sleep
Andy
Special.
Dawson. Anyway,
while we're talking about dreams and that, I was watching Sky Sports News this morning with my boy before he went to school. Tiger Woods was on, and I says, you know what, I must dream about Tiger Woods 4-5 times a week. And he went, eh? What? he says, what about? I says, oh, just like general adventures. He says, what sort of adventures? I says, nah, just stuff like, you know, going around in a van solving crimes, that kind of thing. And he's like, really? Nah, you dick.
Nah, dickhead, now go to school.
Yeah.
did you make my sandwiches? Nah, here's a quid. Buy some crisps and some pop.
Go to school, do some fucking learning, dickhead.
Yeah, so you're not so gullible.
Yeah, smarten up. Yeah, so that was that. Sorry, what were you going to say?
That's a really good dream lie. I pissed in the tube first thing, fresh, and then I stuck it. But then what I did was, they give you a special bag that once sealed cannot be unsealed.
Oh,
and that I assume
spy
is
bag.
To yeah, it's to stop people swapping round piss
and
samples,
tampering. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Russian spies, the people who did the Novichok attack, who knows what they're up to. It's election time at the moment. The hand of Putin is everywhere.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Including in my piss. So I fucking sealed the bag and it can't be unsealed, but I've forgotten to write on the bottle. There's a label on the bottle where you have to fill in. Oh, it's a disaster, mate. Oh. So I've got this piss, but it's unlabeled piss.
It's
and
anonymous
I can't get
piss.
Because it's anonymous piss. It could throw the NHS is under enough strain as it is without me fucking them about.
Yeah, you clown.
Fucking sparking piss mysteries, pisteries. So I don't know what to do. I do not know what to do with this piss, this unlabeled piss.
It's fucked now because you've filled it and you've bagged it. All you can do is take it in and apologise. And they'll probably give you another one, and you'll have to do it again tomorrow, so...
Ah, what's this? Ah, fuck
you haven't labelled it.
Hey, bag it and tag it. That's what it is. You've bagged it, you haven't tagged it.
Who are you, Mr. Mystery? Fucking hell. Mr. Anonymo.
No, this won't do. Take it away. Chuck it. Here's another tube. Come back, try again, dickhead. So
never
that
mind.
Isn't ideal. That isn't ideal. Hey, I've got, before we get into the mailbag, I've got a few ideas I want to run past you for some Christmas content that we're going to need to pre-record.
Yep.
So me and you can just fucking rig it up over the festive season.
Yeah, nice.
And not
switch
have to
the
record
dots.
Any of these. One is end of year ratings. And the categories for the ratings can be nominated online by the Cunters, but we will choose, like, you know, you can suggest and nominate categories for us to rate, and it'll be the year. So it'll be the best of the year.
Right.
So,
okay.
For instance, you might do best royals or something like that. Or, you know.
Right.
I don't, obviously, I haven't quite thought this through.
No, it'll form
ratings,
itself over the next week.
Nominate
or so.
The categories. We'll choose which ones we like. We might discard them all and make up our own ones. And then literally, we will just rate. It'll be solid ratings.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. Now, another good episode for Christmas would be a deep dive into Do They Know It's Christmas by Band Aid.
Right. Okay.
Because some of the lyrics are like they've been made up on the hoof by Sir John Fanny Powder, right? It's like, because of course it was made up on the hoof, wasn't it? They had to. Bob Geldof had Bob Geldof called up Midger. He said, "Listen, we got to knock a song out. Have you seen this? Michael Burke on the news. It's fucking mad, right?" And so there's a lot of lyrics in it. I don't want to give it all away now, my thoughts on it, but there's things like, "But say a prayer for the other ones," right? That just to me, they warrant a deep dive. We could do a deep dive into a number of different songs. So I'm sure things like Last Christmas probably warrants a deep dive. Most of George Michael's lyrics have some fascinating stuff to dig around. And it might be a nice Christmas episode. Just deep dive some of our favourite Christmas classics, right?
Okay, yep.
That's it. They're the only two things I've thought of. Christmas ratings and deep dive into Christmas songs.
We were going to do a mailbag Christmas special as well, so we're thinking some Christmas categories, like, you know, best, worst Christmas presents, Christmas dinner incidents, I don't know.
Christmas Sabutio tournament's gone wrong.
Christmas fights.
It's basically the best, what I'm really into, which sort of rings true in my family, is when someone gets a present that's a game that everyone gets super excited about when the present is opened in the morning, but ultimately ends up ruining Christmas.
Right.
The presents that ruin Christmas, because, of course, I've told my Sabutio story, but it could be anything. I mean, I've had SodaStreams ruin Christmas. Sega Mega Drive ruin Christmas. This year, I've bought one of the best, arguably the best ever board game for Len.
Yeah.
Right?
For you.
Risk. He loves board games, so it is sort of for me, but he will love it.
Yeah.
The game Risk, have you ever played it?
I've looked at it over the years, but I've never got into it because it looked as if it would be a bit...
Why did you never take the plunge?
It just looks like a bit too much, do you know what I mean? It looks like it's fucking...
It is a lot.
Too full
on. It's a lot to take on.
Like Monopoly cubed.
Yeah, you have to go on for hours.
Right.
But it's basically like for a megalomaniac. It's basically you're trying to take over the world. So, but
I can see why that would appeal to you,
Once you get into it, it's fucking amazing. Anyway, that might ruin Christmas. Who knows? We'll wait and see. But, yeah, send us some of your Christmas questions and we will do those. Those are our Christmas and New Year festive episodes that we got coming up for you.
We'll knock out some episodes in advance and then just sit with our feet up.
Have you heard this band Fontaines DC from Ireland?
I'm familiar with them, yeah.
Everyone's going on about them.
Are they?
Right.
They're from like 2 years ago, aren't they?
But they're really trendy. They're like, on Six Music, it's all like, yeah, they're definitely the album of the year. We all think that they're the album of the year. Mate, it's absolute shit. You got to have a listen to it. I don't know if I'm missing something, but it's just bullshit. It's just a fucking mad Irish bloke fucking shouting his head off, right?
Yeah.
And someone just banging the drum behind him and grinding away, like, really, it's horrible.
Is that not authentic, though? There was another group that was nominated for the Mercury Prize that was shit as well. Hang on a minute, I'm just having a look
I'll tell you that is. I'll tell you that is.
Go on.
Fucking hell, they're the other one that they love on Six Music. Oh, fuck. Forgotten. I'm going to find it out. But actually, you know, the Sleaford mods, they're shit as well. You're supposed to like them. They're shit, mate.
Black MIDI.
Oh.
Is it not them? No?
Black MIDI. It's not them. Is it Idols? It's
shit. No, it was Black MIDI. It was Black MIDI had a single out. We say single, but it was unlistenable. They used to play a lot on Six Music. And sorry, no good.
Idols are another shit band. Idols are a shit band. I tell you, this fucking Sleaford mods have got a lot to answer for, right? This sort of music where someone's just fucking shouting and there's an untalented band, like some kids, like literally 8-year-olds who've just got a fucking Fisher-Price drum set for Christmas. It's fucking bullshit, but is that the thing? Is it supposed to be authentic? You know what I like? Inauthentic music.
Mm. Like, you know, such what, as...
I'd rather listen to Jamiroquai. I'm not joking, right? If I had the choice of listening to Jamiroquai or fucking Fontaines DC, no contest whatsoever. No contest. I would rather listen to a white man from Ealing do bad Stevie Wonder rip-offs, right? Because at the end of the day, it's still Stevie Wonder rip-offs, right? Rather than a band from fucking Dublin who take themselves super seriously doing rip-offs of fucking Sleaford mods or something, which is just like, you're ripping off music that was shit in the first place.
Maybe just listen to Stevie Wonder instead of Jamiroquai.
Well, yeah, of course. I do listen. What I'm saying is, I'm trying to make a point. I don't listen to Jamiroquai very often. Or ever, although the reason he's in my mind is that when I was in the gym this morning, he came on Kistery. And I was like, so the Space Cowboy, quite a good song.
Groovy.
Groovy. Better than Fontaine's DC. I added a little bit of rhythmic dancing to my usual gym routine.
I mean, there's like 7 Steely Dan albums, just listen to them all the time. That's all
you
need.
Listen, mate. Basically. Listen. The point I'm making is, I'm not saying Jamiroquai is the best fucking band in the world. What I'm saying is, Jamiroquai are not regarded with much, you know, credibility.
No.
Are they? And yet, they're still better than these bands, Idols and Fontaines DC. They're just silly.
Yeah, well, I've not heard all that much of them. Six Music aggravates me a little bit.
Sometimes they play amazing music, but the whole thing is it's a mixed bag, and that's fine. That's their approach, right? It's a mixed bag. You could get anything, and that's why sometimes, you know, I discover music all the time listening to it because they mix it up. But some of it's really good, and some of it is dog shit.
I keep hearing a lot of like kind of winsome rapping that's being done over a really sort of Casio keyboard beat sort of thing. There's a lot of that going on. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's trendy at the moment. Yeah.
It just makes me want to go and listen to it. It makes me want to go listen
to the door. Because, you know, 0-hour contract, my mum's on the dole. You don't know the things that I've seen out on the streets. And then he turned to me and said, I don't love you anymore. Fuck off.
It just makes me want to go and listen to Public Enemy's first couple albums.
Again, you know what I mean? Listen to NWA.
Yeah.
Right? Because say what you like about Eazy-E, right? He was not fucking feeling sorry for himself. And he had it tough.
Yeah.
Right? He had it fucking tough, right? But he never felt sorry for himself in his lyrics, did he? He never bleated on.
No.
He never bleated on once. And it can't have been easy growing up in Compton, can it?
The name Eazy-E was probably ironic. Because it wasn't easy.
Well, that's testament to the bloke, right?
Yeah.
He's growing up in Compton, right? Fucking Ken Loach never made a film about that, did he?
No, not yet.
Colours is a great film. It's laugh a minute, right? But Eazy-E, growing up in Compton, very rough, very poor. Every time he goes out the front door, he doesn't know whether he's going to come back alive. There's people driving around shooting each other out the windows of cars non-stop, weren't there?
Mm.
And yet, when he thought of a rap name, he didn't sort of come up with some fucking, you know, name that was so self-pitying, did he?
Of course
like
not.
Hard Times John.
No.
Or Poverty Steve, right? He didn't fucking... No, he said, I'm going to call myself Easy-E.
Easy-E.
Because life's tough, but I just take everything easy.
Yeah.
I tell you who he's like. He's like the fucking bunny from the Cadbury's Caramel Ads. That was his
attitude.
That's
exactly, yeah. He's the Elliot version of that, isn't he? Of course.
Yeah.
Fucking
he's
hell.
He's like, fuck it, I'm going to call myself Easy-E, and I'm going to form a band. In fact, there's a really funny documentary. It's really good. It was these documentaries that ESPN did about sport and culture, and Ice Cube did it, and he did a documentary about the relationship between NWA and the LA Raiders.
Was this the 30 for 30 series?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Very good.
And the Ice Cube one where he's talking about NWA and the LA Raiders is amazing. And there's a bit where he talks about... Actually, I can't say because it involves saying the N-word. And even when I'm telling a story, I don't think I should do that.
Okay.
So, but
just
anyway,
draw a line
it.
Under that. Yeah.
Just draw a line under it.
All right. Would you like to hear a story about a man attempting to arrest a judge in a courtroom?
Always.
A self-defending kind of timbrel tribute thing. Yeah. This is from Leicester. And the headline, this has been sent in by Lady Cunter, or Cuntess, if you like, Ruth Clinch. Which is a great surname, isn't it? Ruth Clinch. Headline is, man attempts to arrest judge mid-hearing in bizarre Leicester courtroom encounter. Excuse me. Here we go. Nigel Little began reading District Judge Nick Watson his rights and accused him of treason. Hey! the case took a strange turn as the district judge attempted to explain to Mr. Little why he could not help him with an application for defence costs. Mr. Little had refused requests to remove his woolly hat in court and informed the hearing that, here we go, timbrel line, he was a freeman of the land.
You should have a sound effect for when someone announces themselves as a free man.
It's timbrel bingo. The judge attempted to explain to Mr. Little he had to go up the road to the Crown Court in Wellington Street to resolve his application, which prompted Mr. Little to say, you need to be at the Crown Court. Then he said to him, walk yourself into a mental institution. And then he said, are you under oath? And then he says, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right. And then the judge cut him off to tell him he was in the wrong place. So he was attempting to arrest the judge there.
he was just using that thing of saying, no, you're that thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Turning around every statement.
I know I am, but what are you? And
yeah,
all that.
Exactly. It's brilliant.
And he'd said, the judge then cut him off to tell him he was in the wrong place, and Mr. Little responded with, do you understand? It's treason! Hung, drawn and quartered! And the judge ended the hearing with a polite, thank you very much, Mr. Little. And Mr. Little was then removed from the courtroom. Mm. He'd originally said that he didn't know why he'd come to court, but then he said he wanted to reclaim costs incurred in three previous trips from his home in Walsall to Leicester. For an unspecified case. So he wanted his dinner money from the judge. He wanted his bus fare and his dinner money. And he was prepared to arrest the judge if he wasn't going to get it.
There you go. Listen, so, judge, I'm prepared to drop my charges against you if you give me my lunch and train fare money home. What charges against me? This is your last chance, Your Honour.
Yeah, or I will arrest thee. So good timbreling there.
We got an email yesterday from our old friend, Lewis Clare, the diversified farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And the title of the email was Surprise AIDS. Well, obviously,
Jesus.
This caught my eye. This caught my eye, big star. And it doesn't disappoint.
It's not what you'd expect from a diversified family farm.
No.
But, you know, let's not judge till we've heard it.
Well, that's why that farm, which haven't they had to shut that down?
They're pretty much, it's open occasionally for like Halloween and stuff like that, but it's pretty much
well,
gone.
We are really gutted about that.
Well,
it's sorry
totally
that we couldn't help, but we tried our best to promote the fuck out of it.
Maybe we cursed it.
Winning cream teas. Maybe we cursed it, yeah. Anyway, he's obviously keeping his pecker up.
Good.
Because he's written us a fantastic email with the title Surprise AIDS. Here we go. Your health special prompted me to pop you an email about a health scare I had back in the day. Great. Remember, we're always here to hear your health scares and hopefully put your mind at ease.
Yeah.
After I got home from the trip to Venezuela in 2001, where I encountered a disindat, I had constant stomach problems. Basically, I was shitting way more than was healthy or normal. Is that a sign of AIDS, though? I don't know.
We're not doctors.
I mean, most of what I know about AIDS, I learnt from when Tucker got it in EastEnders.
Yeah.
And they never talked about him doing loads of shits, but I don't know. Maybe that is one of the first signs of AIDS.
I mean, we are medical experts, but we're not doctors.
No, but if you are shitting a lot, I would go to the doctor and ask for an AIDS test. Oi, oi. Guess what it is today? That's right, AIDS. No need to ask any questions. I've diagnosed myself.
I have been shitting around the clock, non-stop. Obviously, I put two and two together. AIDS.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Oh, God almighty. This is how it started for old Freddie Mercury. I tell you. Luckily, I've done some reading and they can cure it now with a special cocktail of medicines.
Special
cream.
So
all you need to do is sign the old forms. And I'll get myself at the AIDS clinic. Double quick.
Shots at four. I reckon I'll get in there before they shut, get the cream, put a bit on. I'll be right as rain.
I'll be back in time for darts night with the lads. They ain't going to believe it when I tell them. You ever guess what I got, lads? Fucking AIDS. God. You never have. I have. Anyway. So he's shitting more than normal. After a couple of years being passed around various parts of the NHS, including cameras up and down, I got sent to the Institute of Tropical Diseases in Liverpool. Oh,
yeah.
I've always been fascinated with that place. Mm. After a long consultation with a specialist, I was told, it's one of two things. You've either got post-infectious IBS... That's irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
That has triggered lactose intolerance. Or, and this may be a surprise, you are HIV positive.
Whoa!
That's what the doctor said. Yeah, you're fucking right. That is a surprise.
Subtle.
I'm gonna do a blood test. You'll have to come back here next week to get the results. All right. Yeah, you're gonna have to come back. We're not fucking sending you the results. Come back. Now, I had a girlfriend at the time, so I was in something of a pickle. I can drop the shit and admit the fact that I might have HIV, and most likely she would too.
Oh, God.
Or I can ignore it all week, cross my fingers, and hope for the best.
Say a little prayer.
Fucking hell. How was the doctor? Well, I mean, he said it's probably IBS, but it could be AIDS.
Could be HIV. It's one of the ones with an I in it, I'm sure of that. IBS, HIV. You know, there's a lot of blurring of the
apparently
boundaries.
They're quite similar.
Yeah.
They both start with a lot of shitting. As it so happened, it was my birthday that week, and because I'm a completely useless cunt, I decided the best option was to wait for her to take me to a restaurant for a birthday meal and then casually drop the fact I might be HIV positive into conversation.
Yeah, that's the way to do it in public, definitely. Well,
that way, he at least gets his dinner. Because if she's going to dump him, by that stage, the food's already ordered. Wait till the bill, maybe. When the bill comes with the mints.
And he'll need to get home as well, because the shitting will start again quite soon after the meal. So,
yeah.
He can make a quick exit.
And he'll probably want to get home, because most people don't like shitting in restaurants. They prefer, if you've got a big load to drop, you want to do it in your privacy. Home rig.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The sound of cutlery dropping will stay with me forever. Needless to say, we're no longer together. Probably counts as a sex fail too. That's from Lewis, the diversified farmer. P.S. It was the IBS, you'll be glad to hear.
Oh, yeah,
well,
good.
I know some people who've got IBS and it's tough to live with.
Mm.
So I'm not going to belittle IBS. Is it worse than AIDS? Is it better than AIDS? Mm. Who are we to say?
I would say
living with any chronic condition is unpleasant.
Yeah. It's better than AIDS, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
of course it is.
Well done, Lewis. Your farm might be shutting down, but at least you haven't got AIDS.
Yeah. Email from Paul Dewick is entitled Jim Rosenthal Stole Sandwiches. I mean, that's one you want to read, isn't it? Of course it is.
You want to read this,
yeah. Because we mentioned Jim Rosenthal in yesterday's episode because he's made a comeback.
And his perma-squint condition. He's coming back.
He's on Amazon's football coverage this week. Morning men, says Paul. Your mention of the sports squinter came as a surprise, as I thought he'd given up on public life, or as we like to say, retreated.
Withdrawn
from public life. But no, he's back. Now he's back. I think it's right to highlight that he's on the rob in the summer, taking sandwiches off fat cunts like me. This is cricket tea related, so may not qualify for TFTM. Cricket, of course, being a non-sport, but we'll go with it anyway. Jim is something to do with a rival club of mine and follows them home and away, but doesn't take part in any way, but is always, first up at tea helping himself. I thought it was okay because he might be skinned from not being on TV in ages, but it turns out he's just a sneaky squinter.
No, I'm skint from not being on TV for ages. All right, Jim. Yeah, you're around, isn't it? Ah, wish I could. I'm skint from not being on TV
For ages. I'll have two tuna sarnies and a fairy cake, please, and a cup of tea. And Paul says, also, the clubhouse of this club was opened by Theresa May and is right next to some wheat fields. So I don't know if there's a connection there between Theresa May and her notorious romping through wheat fields that she did as a younger lady. Probably not. It's probably not connected at all. So there you go. Jim Rosenthal is sandwich quite thief. Fond of sandwiches. I don't know. He doesn't say whether there's a charge for the sandwiches or anything, or whether he doesn't pay. He says he's always up first. Maybe he just likes to get ahead of the queue. Maybe he's in the queue and he gets bothered by people who want, like, selfies with him being Jim Rosenthal. So it's understandable. Yeah. But
have you ever been stolen off by a celebrity, though? That's a good topic. It's a bit niche, but there'll be people out there who've been thieved off from a celebrity.
Well, Popovich used to do a thing where people had been robbed by celebrities, didn't they? Or celebrities had borrowed money off them all. Borrowed things off them and never returned them, and they named and shamed them. But that sort of thing.
Celebrities can do that sometimes. They like a mate of mine used to be the one of the press people at Radio One back in the old days.
Yeah.
And there was a particular host. I won't name her, but it is a her.
Right.
And she had this habit of when they were out. She'd always go to him, and he was sort of working for her. They were at an event that he'd had to attend with her that she might be hosting, something like that. And she'd go, oh, I'm just going to go and get a drink. And she'd just go, oh, God, have you got any cash? Like in that sort of, I'm famous, so I don't really carry around anything.
Yeah.
And she'd go, have you got some cash? Have you got a tenner? And then, like, he'd obviously not want to go, no, I haven't got a fucking tenner. Go, oh, yeah, sure, and give her a tenner. But there'd be no receipt. She'd always be like, oh, you can claim it back. And he'd be like,
what?
He wouldn't want to say it, but in his head he'd be thinking, there's no way I'm claiming that tenner back. I can't go to BBC Expenses and put a bit of paper in going, such and such, insert name of Lady DJ here, ask me for a tenner.
Yeah. Right?
Doesn't even know what it's for. And he goes, and it was fucking habitual. And he was quite young. He wasn't in a senior position, so he was permanently skint, like people in their 20s are. Do you know what I mean? And so a tenner was a tenner. Do you know what I mean? And she'd go, give us a tenner. And he went, every fucking time, it got to the point where he had to, like, withdraw an extra tenner when he knew he was going somewhere with her, because at some point she would ask for the tenner.
I mean, you know, it's quite hard. It must be hard for celebrities to remember to put a bit of cash in their pockets or go to a cash machine. Because if you go to a cash machine, you're then trapped and you can be swarmed by fans and admirers who want to have a look at your PIN number and maybe get a picture of you. So it's understandable. They've probably got to go and get the cash out at like 3 a.m. when there's no one around.
In the year 1996, the best year ever, there was a thing that I'm sure you, Andy, this is the sort of thing you'll have really fond memories of. You won't be cynical at all about it. The famous race for number one between Blur's Country House and Oasis's Roll With It.
Yep.
You loved
I was working at Al Price during the time.
I remember you saying to me that's one of your favourite things that's ever happened. You thought it was great fun.
Did I?
Yeah. Right. You said it was brilliant. You said it was the best ever, right?
Okay.
You said you're at your happiest during that Britpop
that
war,
week.
Right. You said that was when you're at your happiest. Just you couldn't wait to see who won. And you were tracking the sales. Who do you reckon won it in Sunderland, Our Price? You must remember.
Oasis. Oh, well, it was, yeah.
Really?
Oasis, yeah.
No one would have been buying Blur records
in
Sunderland.
The thing was, though, Blur's single came out on two formats, two CD singles. So your Blur fans would be buying both of them at $1.99 each. And Oasis's, what was it? It was Roll With It, wasn't
it?
That was only out on
their worst ever single.
Yeah, a single CD, and that was $3.99. Sometimes it was $2.99 if you shopped around. So, you know, it was kind of rigged a little bit.
They fucking hacked it. They gamed the charts.
Yeah, Blur
fucking
gamed
Blur,
it, yeah.
Typical.
Yeah. And then
that would have been
it.
Coxon, wouldn't it? Doing all the fucking maths like a little Frank Lampard
swap.
Nah, it'd
have been fucking the other one. It'd been the cheese man.
Albarn.
What's he called? Alex.
Albarn?
No, Alex.
Oh, the fucking cheese cunt.
Yeah, he's the shifty one. But Albarn have had his hand in it as well. Coxon hasn't got a fucking clue what's going on. Coxon's away with the fairies.
Cunt.
But, anyway, what's the point you're going to make?
I wanted Oasis to win because I liked Oasis and I thought Blur were cunts. And I was, and then Blur won. And I was, when Blur won, when it was announced, I think I you may know that scene in Platoon where like Charlie Sheen falls to his knees with his hands up at the heavens. That was me.
Yeah, was it?
It's like
God.
It's like who was it that choked? Who was it who choked in the darts last Christmas? R1. Who's the main man? Like
Peter Wright.
No, is it Lewis?
Adrian Lewis.
Adrian Lewis choked last year.
Did he? No, he hasn't come close for a while.
Anyway, I remember one year at the darts, he choked and I fucking fell to my knees in front of the TV and was screaming and crying.
Did you have money on him?
But that was this was the Britpop equivalent. Yeah. I was like, no! Blur have won! Fucking hell! Right?
Yeah.
Can't! And then the next day, I was staying in my brother's flat. I was flat-sitting for my brother and he had a flat in Notting Hill, which is also where Damon Albarn lived at the time. And there was a cash point right next to his flat. And I came out first thing in the morning and I went to the cash point and there was as I was walking towards it, a black cab pulled up and someone jumped out of the black cab and got to the cash point in front of me, nipped in like a cab.
Yeah.
You know, it was Albarn. And you know who was in the cab? Justine Frischmann out of Elastica.
Oh, his girlfriend, wasn't it?
That was his bird.
Well, that's all right. Why do you say that like it's a surprising thing? She's entitled to be in the
club. Because it was amazing. It was just an amazing thing to have encountered. Now, her, I didn't mind. They were a good band, weren't they, Elastica?
Yeah.
And
second album
him,
was a bit
I thought,
shit, but yeah.
I had him down as a cunt, Albarn.
Yeah.
I mean, from day one,
Did he prove you wrong in this incident? Or did he just...
Well, what was funny was, right, he was standing in front of me at the cashie.
Yeah.
And I was really fucking psyched up because this was Monday morning. On Sunday, the charts had come out and I was still reeling. I felt like you feel after, like, you know, your team have lost a big game. I was like, fucking cunt. I can't believe it. The cunt. And I wanted to say something to him. And he turned round after he'd got his money out, you know, probably withdrew like 200 quid or something.
Whatever
like
his daily maximum was, yeah.
Yeah, daily maximum, 200 quid. Have a look at that, dickhead. Well, are you a student? Yeah, getting a fiver out, are you? Sorry, they're out of fivers.
And I fanned them up, fanned all the notes out as well. Oh, look at that.
Then he lit a cigar guess off who, of a £10 note.
Guess who's top of the fucking charts?
That's my number one money. Got a bonus off the record company, didn't I? Hey,
I tell you what,
Justine.
I tell you what, I've made this much of the time it took me to get it out.
And I would have been like 19 or so. I was a student, right? I was like, fucking can't look at him. He's got his pop star bird in the motor. He turned around and I wanted to say something. Why? Why did I want to say something? Who cares? But I was like so into it. He turned around and I went, you were a bit lucky yesterday, weren't you, mate?
You're a bit lucky.
Yeah, and also, I would have looked a right ticked, right? I had like a Liam Gallagher sort of supergrass type hairstyle. Yeah. I was all done up like it was the 90s. And he looked me up and down and he just chuckled and then got in the cab and fucked off.
He laughed at you, Sam.
He did a right TTFN dickhead.
Yeah. See you later. I'm off the top of the pops. Fuck you.
What are you talking about? Top of the Pops ain't till Thursday. I can do it whenever I fucking want. They're doing a special one just for me.
Because I'm number one, they said I can go in early.
I won the fucking Britpop war, you cunt. Come on, Justine Priestman. You can knock me off in the car on the way up the studios. Leave this dickhead to get his fiver out. I get up there. Sorry, this cash point is out of cash.
Fucking bastard!
He's done me all ends up. And that was the day God. I was fucking done over by Damon Albarn at a fucking cashy.
Yeah.
He absolutely fucking did me.
Fuck
so that's
hell.
A painful memory. Do you want to do a... Are you prepared to reply to an Ask Sting question?
Yeah, we'll just do one because we haven't got much time left, so we'll do one.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this then. This is from Stuart Ives.
Yeah,
Ask
Sting.
Hi there, I'd like to ask some financial advice from Sting.
Right.
Here it is. How should I reduce my car insurance costs? What tips can you give me? Thanks, Stuart.
Well... Don't necessarily use one of them comparison sites because they're a little bit rigged. The results at the top are the ones that have been paid for by the companies. You need to take time, maybe set aside an evening and go through all the sites. Some of the ones like Direct Line, they're not on the comparison sites. So you need to be methodical. Don't just piss about going on, go compare and taking the first thing you see. You know, it's a numbers game. And you know you've got to play a long game with this. So don't lie about your no claims either.
Do you one follow up question? Would you mind telling us where you and Trudy Style have your insurance, or are your premiums higher because you're famous?
What's it called? Sheila's Wheels. It's under her name because she's had fewer crashes.
Great. So you're just a named driver on her policy.
Aye. Well, she does most of the driving, to be fair.
That sounds very, very shrewd. Thank you, Sting. Stuart, I hope that answers your question. I felt it was very thorough. And we got some really great insight to Trudy
there,
and Sting's life there as well.
Definitely.
So that was good.
That's been the mailbag dive. We got a couple of letters read out, so that was good.
Good. Well, yeah, and we got some good quality ones as well, I think.
We did. Keep them coming. And remember those ones that we said for Christmas and that. Ratings of the year. Yeah. Nominate your categories and things you want us to rate. And what was the other thing? Christmas stories.
Christmas stories.
Do a Christmas mailbag as well. Any kind of Christmas story, as long as it's good. Could be about anything.
Mark your email, though, Christmas story or Christmas ratings, because then that makes it easier for us to just fucking... What we like to do is put in minimum effort to everything.
Yeah.
So if you can mark it clearly, that way it's just fucking easy for us to organise.
Yes, thank you very much, please. All right, that's it then. We'll be back. Oh, yeah, if you IFS, tomorrow we're kicking off the new series of deep dives, which is going to be the Ripley's Believe It or Not 2020 annual. We're going to choose random pages and explore that for a few weeks. So there you go.
We'll be kicking off with Wolfcat, I think.
That's something you look forward to, isn't it? Woo! Yeah. All right, TTFN.
See you, dickheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.